From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, February 15th. Coming up, part two of our conversation with University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones. Today, the Chancellor discusses the future of agriculture and his thoughts on talking about race. That interview in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin has received a $20 million donation from billionaire Ken Griffin to fund Irvin's attempt to unseat Illinois' current governor. Alex Degman reports.
In a statement, Griffin said Governor J.B. Pritzker's policies are harming his company and, quote, countless other Illinois success stories. Griffin also blasted Pritzker's approach to crime and claimed the governor refuses to address the, quote, furnace of corruption and waste in Springfield. Irvin said he appreciates Griffin's donation and the support he's received so far from thousands of others, and he looks forward to getting more. Irvin has also received six-figure donations from well-known business leaders like Sam Zell, Ron Gidwitz, and Shirley Ryan. Irvin entered the race just last month, and he's now outraised all his Republican primary opponents combined. I'm Alex Degman.
Decatur's new superintendent started teaching 30 years ago as a special education aide. Since then, Rochelle Clark has moved up the ranks from teacher to principal to, most recently, assistant superintendent in Decatur Public Schools. Clark says her early days still shape her philosophy that schools should individualize teaching for each student, no matter their label.
You have so many great kids out there with special needs. They're very bright, very talented, and it's overlooked. They're no different. They just have a different way of learning, but we're all able to learn and succeed. And so that is what I think I can bring to the table.
Clark will earn just over $200,000 during her first full year as superintendent of District 61. Listen tomorrow on 217 Today for an interview with Rochelle Clark. The Illinois Attorney General's Office has asked the Illinois Supreme Court to impose a sentence in a case where a Western Illinois judge threw out the sexual assault conviction of an 18-year-old man. Attorney General Kwame Raoul filed a mandamus complaint and a motion for supervisory order, asking the state's highest court to order Judge Robert Adrian to sentence Drew Clinton in accordance with state law. Adrian presided over a three-day bench trial in which Clinton was accused of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl at a graduation party. After originally finding Clinton guilty of criminal sexual assault, Adrian threw out the conviction. Raoul says the judge's decision to vacate the conviction, quote, demonstrates an abuse of power. Still to come, more of our conversation with University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones. That interview with our news director, Reginald Hardwick, is coming up next on 217 Today.
Masterpiece's hit series All Creatures Great and Small is back for a second season. James, Siegfried, Helen, and Mrs. Hall are all a part of it, saving animals, navigating romance, and living life to the fullest in beautiful Yorkshire dales. It's a classic show full of heartfelt moments, captivating friendships, and a dash of mischief. Both seasons of the series are available for you to stream with WILL Passport. Learn how you can watch this charming show at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. This week on 217 Today, we're talking with Dr. Robert Jones, Chancellor of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. After earning a master's degree and doctorate in crop physiology, he became an international authority on plant physiology. Jones has also spoken publicly about the challenges of being black in America. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick continues his conversation with the Chancellor, starting with the biggest current challenge to agriculture.
How do we continue to innovate and in order to continue to deal with issues of food and food insecurity? We all know that the projected increases in the world population is going to mean that we've got to double our game, if not triple it, based on some of the projections we're seeing and based on some of the dire consequences of not doing so. So I see that you're going to see more and more technology being a part of feeding the world, more part of, and we're not just going to be focused on just producing more, but how do you make it more traditious? How do you make it, more nutritious, I should say, and how do you make it? How do you deal with some of the global impact of food production on the environment? You know, so out of ag, you're going to see more focus on ag tech, and that's one of the biggest focuses in our research park now. We probably have one of the fastest growing ecosystem around ag technology of any land-grant university, I think, in the country. And more that effort is being focused on what we call regenerative agriculture. How can you make sure that you're reducing the carbon footprint and impact of food production by using more regenerative practices? And really, how do you help create more jobs and more small businesses in this sector that is going to continue to drive the economic vitality of the state? So ag is fine, well, doing well, and will continue to be a core part of the land-grant mission of this university and the research mission writ large.
Another challenge in our country, race. And in the News Gazette in 2020, you wrote in an editorial, you talked about jogging while black and dogs let loose and by unwelcoming neighbors, people shouting the N-word at you as they drove by. Never meeting your grandfather because he was shot dead in his front yard by a racist landowner. 2022, you have efforts in schools and by some states to stop talking about racism because it makes white people feel bad. How do we respond to that in this time?
Well, I'm a fundamental believer in the following. Nothing really gets done without a conversation. You can't move forward as a society unless you are willing to understand the other. How can you understand the other without a dialogue and without a conversation? So I'm very, very adamant about this cancel culture that we seem to be in, where if I don't like what you say, then I'll just cancel you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. That is not a strategy to move us forward. And so you have to have a way to have an open dialogue, and you have to be honest. There is no denying that slavery happened in this country, so why would you think it's appropriate to deny historical context? No more than it would be appropriate to deny the role of immigration from across the world that helped drove the industrial age. And so to deny your history, as I won't get this axiom right, but I mean, you're basically bound to repeat things if you are in complete denial of a historical context. I don't support that. I don't support the notion that somehow or another, particularly in a higher education or an education environment, you're supposed to educate people by not intentionally and strategically trying to block out or deny parts of one's history. It's just not appropriate. And it just won't serve society or our nation well in the long run.
The blackness. Keep on.
Chancellor Jones was once a vocalist in the Grammy Award-winning group, The Sounds of Blackness. They had a hit record in 1991 called Optimistic. So I ended our interview by asking Chancellor Jones what makes him optimistic in 2022.
Well, what gives me optimism is notwithstanding the trials and tribulations that one encounters in life, is that if you look around, there's reason to be doubtful about the future. But if you just really look at the problem and know that into each life, as they say, some rain must fall, but tomorrow a brighter day will surely come. And that is what keeps me very much optimistic that, you know, COVID-19 has been one of the biggest challenges I've ever faced in my life. And yeah, I think many of us wanted to be over in a couple of months or at least a year. And now we're entering the third year of this thing here pretty soon. March 12th was the day I sent everybody home to study remotely. But I remain optimistic because I know that, as my granny used to say, this is something we're going through, not going to. That will be a brighter day at the end of this. And hopefully the lessons learned from these trials and tribulations will make us a better society, one that is more willing to understand that we're in this together and the benefits of hanging together as a community that we can tackle most anything.
Chancellor Robert Jones, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, thank you for spending some time with us today.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
That's University of Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones speaking with Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a high of 43 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.